everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Kyle Fredrickson joining me now, Colorado Avalanche beat writer for the Denver Gazette. Kyle, my man, here we go. We're talking about the Avs. They're starting to make a run here. They're starting to make some moves, too. Boy, it's exciting watching what this team does, because I think everybody has it in the back of their mind. Well, they were really good last year. We expected them to win a Stanley Cup, but they made moves to almost ensure that. Does it seem like we're seeing a little bit of the same thing this season, Kyle?
Yeah, it's an interesting time for the Avalanche and sort of figuring out what their priorities are, who's still available. I really appreciated the chance to chat with GM Chris McFarland. He was made available for a quick press conference the other night before an Avs game, where he kind of just broke down his thoughts on the trade deadline. A lot of non-answers. He didn't tell us a lot. I think he was very truthful in terms of, the Avs thinking that if a player is out there that makes sense for them, they'll go ahead and try to get that player, but they're not going to overextend themselves. And when you look at the deals that they've made so far, they haven't made a big swing or added a name that totally changes the conversation about the team. Much like we've seen out in the East with a lot of really high-profile trades. But to me, the moves that they've made have signaled that, I think McFarland, for the most part, believes that this core of players has what it takes to repeat as Cup champions. It's just a matter of getting healthy. It's a matter of getting Gabe back, maybe having EJ back in the lineup as well to shore up some key spots. Because, as you mentioned, trades as of even today, the Avs trade for Lars Eller out of Washington. He's a depth center from the Capitals who the Avs get, who really is pretty similar to Darren Helm in terms of what his role is going to be in the bottom six. I don't see him as a replacement for JT Compher as the second line center, but he gives the Avs a very veteran quality player who's, scored a game-winning goal in the playoffs for the Capitals not too long ago. To their roster and all that talented experience, similar to even a Jack Johnson who won a cup a year ago, it seems like the Avs see that as a big value. And by adding guys like him, they're shoring up their depth and to really kind of round out their edges, I think, really with the hope that Gabe Landeskog and everyone is going to be healthy by the time the playoffs actually get here.
Kyle, I think those are great points, too, where last year it was like, hey, we know we're maybe a favorite, but we haven't been able to get over that hump. So we got to go make some fairly big moves that will get us to where we need to be. This year, it's kind of like we still like our pieces. We're just not healthy enough yet. Let's make sure we're just getting some depth guys in. As you mentioned, Lars Eller, like he's not exactly a spring chicken. I think he's well into his 30s, isn't he? So
right. You're
looking at guys now, like you said, we're really just adding some more depth so that we can be prepared if we do run into more of those injuries too along the way.
Right, exactly. And, we are having this conversation on a Wednesday afternoon
sure. With
some time left here, so we should note that. Something could change. The Avalanche do have a first-round pick in this upcoming draft that is at their disposal. McFarland discussed that and said, that's such a valuable asset that, if you're going to give it up, you better get something back in return that's very high quality. And, he left it open-ended and saying that, if there is a deal out there to be had where they could move that pick, then the Avs would be willing to do it, but it's only if it makes sense. And to this point, with seeing some of the more higher profile, second line center type players out there who might fill in that, Nazem Kadri sized hole in this lineup that's really been there all year. Those guys aren't left, they're already traded and signed elsewhere, the Patrick Kanes of the world. So it would make more sense to me that the Avs would be more quiet, but I'll be refreshing Twitter until then, I guess.
Well, Patrick Kane's name and I don't know how realistic that was, but you certainly hear big names. Anytime you get to an NHL or NBA trade deadline, you hear all these big names. How realistic those names coming to your actual team, who knows, but it's fun to talk about. But with a first-round pick, as you said, you're kind of running out of those big names. So can you realistically see them maybe packaging something up here? Maybe they don't get like pound for pound, as far as an equal trade for first round pick, but a few other good players for the first rounder.
Yeah, I mean, I think fans at this point would love to see a deal where Sam Girard is packaged with a pick, and that helps the Avalanche get a little bit more, you know, bang for their buck there. But I just don't see that happening. Even if the Avs would entertain offers for Girard, they're just not healthy enough or have that same kind of championship depth that I think from a year ago that they can really rely on. You know, they need all these guys to be healthy, and Girard's been playing really well lately. You know, I don't think they're in any kind of rush to move him. So, yeah, based on those assets, they do have that first. Maybe they do get creative, but to me, that's more of a sign of a desperate team, you know, trying to win a championship. And even shades of last year, to your point, you know, going out and getting Arturi Lehkonen, who, you know, looking at that trade now, what a beauty by Joe Sakic. I mean, for what they gave up and getting a top-line winger who's just been playing so well alongside Nathan MacKinnon his whole time in Colorado, it was a great move. But these Avalanche, I do think that it's more likely that they hold pat just based on the personnel that they have back. And that includes, you know, Cale Makar, who's not going to be playing tonight, but it seems like he's going to at least be available in the near future with that second concussion.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about next is, I mean, a lot of this just depends on when these guys get healthy. That's great news about Cale Makar. You mentioned Landeskog. You mentioned EJ as well. Like, what is it looking like for those guys potentially coming back?
Yeah, so, I mean, the best news right now is that Cale Makar is in the stage of his protocol where it's really up to him when he's ready. He's cleared that last hurdle of being through a contact practice with the team. And, you know, there's really no rush at all, I think, to get him on the ice either. The Avs have been playing so well. I think they've won six in a row now. They've just been steamrolling through teams, it feels like, through February. And it comes right at the time when Bo Byram has been really good for this team, even running with the first power play unit in the past few practices. So, you know, Cale needs to take his time, just make sure he's good to go, zero fuzziness, 100% confidence, no rush there. It is a concern that a guy gets two head injuries in back-to-back weeks, so, you know, we'll see just kind of how he looks in his initial return. If there's some rust there, you just really hope that there's no lingering consequences from all that. But beyond the car, it's real fuzzy. You know, the best update I could get from Landeskog this week was that Jared would confirm that he is skating individually by himself again, which has been the case for a few weeks. You know, what started as basically just light striding and barely doing anything has grown into Gabe at least shooting pucks and putting a little bit more weight on both of those knees and looking a little bit more fluid. But we haven't seen anything that suggests that he's ready for contact or ready for, you know, even live drills. So I would say as an Avalanche fan, still hold your breath. I think if he's back to skating with the team sometime in the next 2 weeks, that's pretty optimistic. But I think fingers crossed they're just hoping that he's back to playing maybe by April, give them a little bit of a cushion to get him in games before the playoffs start. But that's just a lot of speculation on my end, based on the fact that his timeline has been pushed back several times by the team, sometimes without really alerting the media in terms of, you know, where this guy is at. So, you know, we're waiting like everyone else. And with EJ, it's hard to say. I based on where he's at in his career and his cap numbers, he could be a long-term IR guy that could open up a little bit of salary. But those decisions have to get made, you know, obviously in the next couple of days here with the trade deadline looming. So, wouldn't be shocked to see that happen. But, you know, similar to Jack Johnson, you know, EJ is just a leader on this team, and they'd love to have him for that cup run.
And it always makes it such an interesting time when it comes up to the trade deadline when you're waiting on guys to get healthy because, you know, how much do you need to go in on rentals to get you where you need to be? Or can you bank on these guys coming back? And when they do come back, can they be at the level you need them to be in? Kyle Fredrickson joining us, Colorado Avalanche beat writer for the Denver Gazette. Kyle, talk to us about this run by the Avs. I mean, injuries, they've been going through them all season, and they're still not out of the woods, as you just talked about, and you documented that. But they are finding a way. They've won the, what, six or seven in a row, so seven out of the last eight games. They're continuing to put themselves in a great spot. They took down Vegas on Monday night. Obviously, Mikko Rantanen's playing at an all-time level here. But what has it been collectively for this team as we're seeing this light really turn on for the Avs?
Yeah, it's really been incredible to watch because, you know, you rewind not too long ago. I think it was January 12th when the Avs went to Chicago and lost that road game to the Blackhawks. And, you know, at that point, I think they had lost like 7 of 8, and it felt like the sky was falling. Oh, you know, was this team even going to make the playoffs anymore? And I bought into it a little bit just because they looked a little bit lifeless. They didn't have that same jump. Mikko Rantanen carried them through December, and then all of a sudden he kind of hit a rough patch, and nobody could score. And but since then, the Avs are, you know, 14-2-2. You know, that's only 2 regulation, you know, losses through that entire stretch. They haven't lost in regulation, actually, from now going back to late January. They're just playing great, and I think it's kind of two-pronged. Part of it is, you know, Alexander Georgiev is really just turned it up a notch, and we've seen that with that, you know, 31-save shutout against the Knights just a couple days ago, making, you know, tough saves look so easy. You know, he's got 10 wins over his last 12 starts, and he's just playing like a guy who's super comfortable, has really found his rhythm, and is playing behind a team that is just, you know, running on all cylinders, for lack of a more original, you know, phrase there. That's 3 games in a row that the Avs have scored on their very first shot on goal. It seems like every night they're coming out with so much jump. And anytime that teams try to press them and try to get in their faces, you know, they're making them pay. You know, the puck handling in the neutral zone and the decision making, the Avs just seem to be one step ahead and have been getting a lot of clean looks up and down the lineup. And that really is what's most impressive right now, is because when you don't have the world's best defenseman and you're still playing like this, it just shows really that championship character. And we'll see how, you know, much the Avs can keep it going here. It's a tough month of March here for the team and the beat writer. I mean, they're playing every other night, it seems like, this for the next 30 days. But it should be fun because, you know, right now the West is so mediocre that, you know, the Avs could play themselves into a, you know, the top seed within the matter of a week or two. You know, you've got Vegas sitting at number 1 right now with 76 points. The Avs are back in 5th, but, you know, that's with 73 themselves. So they've played fewer games than all the teams ahead of them. So I really do like how it's set up for them to not only get in the playoffs, but maybe be, you know, one of those top 2 seeds. And just a month ago or 6 weeks ago, that just didn't seem possible.
No, you're exactly right. Going back to, what'd you say, like January 12th or whatever, I mean, I think all of us were kind of like, man, the injuries are just going to prove to be too much for this team. Are they going to be able to keep their heads above water while they're waiting on these guys to get back?
Yeah, I was going to book my vacation, you know?
And now you got to dial in because, like you said, it's every other night. It's bam, bam, bam. You got a lot of big games coming up.
Yeah. And I do think that this team has shown that they're for real, man. I there's going to be maybe a dip or two, some nights where they're not playing that well. But it just seems like for most of the season, it was a team that got a short off season break after winning the cup. So many injuries. They were just clawing their way through, maybe playing uninspired a little bit from night to night. But we've seen none of that now. It's back to that brand of hockey that so many of these fans have enjoyed. You know, in that cup runs now.
Going at it tonight, going up against New Jersey. So what are we thinking about that matchup tonight, Kyle?
You know, I think the Devils are one of the more fun stories from around the league. Not a lot of people thought they were going to be that great, I don't think. And, you know, they're a team that's going for it. You know, they get Timo Meier at the trade deadline, kind of bolstering that group. I don't think he's going to be in the lineup tonight. But just seeing the Devils making moves like that shows that they think they can be contenders. And also very cool, one of the opposing beat writers also went to Oklahoma State. So I always got to give a shout-out to my student newspaper, the Oak Legion, for putting some NHL beat writers out into the world. But, yeah, it should be a good game, high-octane offense, and a crowd that's in it every night, man. You know, one of the best parts about this job is being in Ball Arena and feeling that energy, because feels like it doesn't matter what day of the week it is, that place is packed out and the fans are paying attention.
No. Ball Arena is the place to be, man. You've got the Avs, of course, and I think even Bednar, he threw in a Nikola Jokic reference the other day I was hearing, where he's talking about consistency and Mikko and everything and how good he's been, and he threw in a Joker reference. It is so awesome to see both. If you're a fan of the Avs and the Nuggets, you got to be in seventh heaven right now, because the Avs are on a tear like they haven't been on all season, and the Nuggets have kind of just been consistently at the top of that Western Conference. So, man, it's a great time to be a fan of those Ball Arena teams.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and it's going to be a busy week. You know, games on and off, all at home coming up here, you know, starting with the Devils. So a good time to tune back in and check out what these guys are doing.
All right, my friend. Kyle, it's been too long, man. Love catching up with you. We'll see what you're up to next week as we get closer and closer to the end of the season. Let's see what kind of move this Avs team can really make and, of course, round out the trade deadline stuff, too. So we'll look forward to catching up with you again.
No doubt. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks, man. Kyle Fredrickson, Colorado Avs beat writer for the Denver Gazette. Love talking to that guy. The Avs are smoking hot. Do they keep it going tonight, on Joe? They going up against the New Jersey Devils tonight? See if they can get another dub here. They've won six in a row. They've only lost like three or four games since January 12th. It's insanity.
The devil is my natural enemy, so yes.
So you're going to say the Avs take them down?
Yes.
Okay, I like it. Let's keep it rolling. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.